Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
and welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz. Greg Bresnitz is killing it over at the Ace right now for Codeathon. Shout out to him and to my dad, who is in town. It was great to hang out with him. We went to Clemente's out in Sheepshead Bay and ate crabs. It was fantastic. That was just Permanent Love by Miami Drive, who will be coming up in this awesome hour of radio with a very special guest, Tiffany Ron.
Hi.
Hey. I'm surprised. I'm so happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you.
Yeah? Oh, my God. Big shout out to everyone who came out to the barbecue blowout, the last one of the season, with Sushi Co. and Yuse all the way coming in, DJing from Copenhagen. It was really nice. Thank you to another awesome season. We will see you next year. And in honor of the end of the summer and barbecue, we have the Pit Bastard, a.k.a. Frank Davis, in the house, who I think you are my first Instagram follow turn guest.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that, actually.
Yeah. His Instagram is Busher Grill Club. I don't even know. You know, it's like that thing. It's like, how do we become friends? It's now it's like, how do I even did follow you on Instagram?
I think it's, I mean, I moved to Bushwick from upstate about a year and a quarter ago, and I think I was just basically going through on Instagram, and anybody who had anything to do with Bushwick food or Brooklyn food, I kept liking,
adding,
and somewhere along the lines, you know, because you guys tend to add back to, you know, it just became one of those things that, you know, along the lines. Plus, basically, last year I was actually using Instagram last year to pimp myself out in the hopes of finding a gig. So
did that work?
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay.
It actually did.
And how did you get the name Pit Bastard?
My wife gave me that. We had a small barbecue place in upstate New York, and somebody once asked her if I was the Pit Master, and she said, no, he's the Pit Bastard. And it stuck, and it's my Gmail account. So anybody wants to email me at pitbastard@gmail, come and spam me. I never get enough email.
So let's go back to the beginning. How did you get involved with cooking and food and barbecue? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Michigan, from Flint, Michigan, which beats up Detroit on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And after I got married, the wife and I moved to the East Coast. I actually worked in records for about 20 years.
Oh, really?
Record business.
Anyone notable?
I was actually the first internet director at Astroworks Records. I actually set up the first Astroworks website, ran the first websites for Fatboy Slim, Chemical Brothers, all of that, yada yada, back in the Big Beat era.
What was that like back in the day?
Well, considering the fact that I looked like a Motorhead roadie, it was kind of intriguing for me to show up at Club Cheetah wearing a leather jacket and hair down the middle of my back, and often denied access. But it was interesting. The thing was, then Astroworks was considered an independent label, and we could do anything. You know, we were trying to do pretty much anything we wanted to, but at the same time, because it was owned by EMI, we had a lot of. I ended up getting tired of it because everything had to be done through like six or seven lawyers.
Yeah.
And so I left that, started my own web design company, and worked with record labels for a while. And then as the music business started to contract, basically our client base started to contract.
Right.
And we sort of said, well, at that point we were living upstate. I had been slowly buying more and more smokers and more grills in the backyard. Mm. And ran a summer worth of pop-ups that...
What year was this?
This would be in 2009.
Okay.
In my backyard that basically ended up the last one we did. We had 150 people in my backyard.
Why do you think so many guys move and girls move from music into food?
It's funny, because most of the people that I know or that I worked with at Astroworks now actually either own bars or restaurants or cook. Same sort of thing. You spend all of your nights out partying for the record label, so it's just sort of a natural cycle that you still want to do something creative, you still want to do something with the nightlife thing, and you're so damaged that you really can't go into a real corporate office, so you end up in food service somewhere.
Yeah, that's. Do you find that some of the neurosis and obsessiveness in music transfers directly right into food?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when it comes down to the creative aspect of it, that you're constantly trying to find, just like in music, you're trying to find a new sound you know, you're always trying to find a new dish, especially if, you know, if you're tasked with the specials and so on, you try not to repeat a special over and over and over again.
So when did you start getting into grilling, and are you doing grilling or barbecuing?
A little bit of both.
So, I mean, I don't think that Michigan is quite known for its barbecue scene.
No, that happened, when I moved.
Yeah. Detroit, they have that sausage right. people there.
And, you know, they've got Slows, several of them in the outer suburbs,
which is like the perfect space for it because you have just so much space.
Yeah, you do. I mean, the fact is that you can buy an entire block in downtown Detroit now for, you know, basically the price of, you know, a studio apartment here in Bushwick. I got into it because I moved upstate. I certainly wasn't doing that when I was down here. Didn't have the space to do it. As soon as we moved, as a matter of fact, before we had furniture in the house, before we had a bed, we were still sleeping on the floor on an air mattress, I bought a Weber kettle.
And that's priorities.
Yeah, it's priorities.
I think.
And then the first thing I did, too, was the first friends we made when we moved up there, we were up in the Catskills, were grass-fed meat farmers.
Again, priorities.
We got to the point where they wanted a website built. We built a website for them where all of the pay for it was in meat. So we did a, yeah.
You that, know, that's that classic website for grass-fed beef
exactly,
barter system.
You know?
I read that in the Agricultural Revolution, right?
So everything I learned from, you know, everything I learned about meat, I learned by grilling grass-fed meat. I've carried that over to as much as I can, given New York City budgets and given the budgets of the places I'm in. But that was just it. It became that obsession where it starts with a Weber kettle, then it starts with a cheap offset from Lowe's, then it starts with a more expensive offset from somebody else, and then the next thing you know, you're dropping, you know, $15,000 on smokers and putting them in your backyard because for some reason your wife is crazy enough to let you.
God bless the wife.
And that was the thing, is that, you know, as the web design business went the way that it was contracting, we said, why not take the last bit of money we have? Had some friends from these parties who said, you know, you should open up a place. There's not a barbecue place in the area we were in. And that got us going.
So you actually opened up a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. We were crazy enough without any restaurant background to actually open up a barbecue restaurant in pretty much the middle of nowhere. It's about 40 minutes north of Woodstock in the Bel Air ski region was where we were at. And did well up until Sandy hit New York City, because 70% of our clientele were weekenders, second homeowners who weren't coming out of the city. At that point, they couldn't get out because of gas. They couldn't get out because of their houses were flooded or whatever, and they didn't want to come upstate. And we sold off the equipment and moved back. I took the advice of all of my customers and moved back to Brooklyn to do barbecue. Yeah.
I mean, you're moving back at a time where Brooklyn and New York barbecue does not need the caveat of urban barbecue. It's there are spots now that are just good barbecue.
Yeah. I mean, for a long time, New York City and in general was considered sort of like, you know, was corporate barbecue. I mean, not that there wasn't great barbecue.
Dinosaur has always been holding it down up in Harlem.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but again, Dinosaur came out of Syracuse.
Of course.
And it is kind of, you know, I kind of say it's kind of chain barbecue. I mean, it's chain barbecue, even though there are solid pit masters in every single one of the stores. All of the stores have to taste the same.
Of course.
There's not the opportunity, say, for the pit master here in Brooklyn to do something wacky and out there because it's got to fit in with the rest of the corporate culture.
Yeah, of course.
Same with Hill Country, you know, same now, you know, with Blue Smoke, Danny and Jean-Paul over at Blue Smoke, you know, want things to be a certain way.
Well, I'll tell you where they're not having it the same way, and that's at the airport in T4.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh, man.
No.
I mean,
What is?
I'll tell you right now, like Shake Shack.
Oh. Right.
On point.
Yeah.
Blue Smoke Airport.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, maybe that's the caveat that you never should really eat barbecue in an airport in New York State.
You know? Look, sometimes you want to be the asshole that flies with ribs.
Okay. I can
you
see
know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, as a, you know, I think what was great is that couple of years ago when, especially in Brooklyn, it suddenly became about pitmaster or pit dude run barbecue places. That it was like, you know, it was Josh opening up John Brown's. It was
John Brown's is great, and I feel like it doesn't get as much credit as
I know
should.
It doesn't,
and that's because it's out in LIC.
It's out nowhere. Yeah, it's you know, it's again one of those in the middle of
but
nowhere
they do,
places.
They do barbecue. They do smoked pastrami. They do smoked foie gras. They do some interesting stuff out there.
Right. I mean, all of those guys, the guys over at Feta Sow, you know, the original Robbie, you know, over there, Matt over at Fletcher's, Billy down at Hometown. All of these guys are doing, you know, are crushing real, like, their stuff, as opposed to worrying about, you know, what's going to fit in right.
I wonder if Brooklyn is ever going to get, you know, you have Texas style, you have North Carolina style. I wonder if it's going to be a Brooklyn style.
That's a huge political thing for me for a long time, because the problem is if you say Brooklyn style, immediately everybody goes, that's because they can't actually do barbecue.
But that's not true anymore.
But it's not true. But at the same time, the problem is a lot of people sort of lock on the fact that, like, Billy does this killer beef rib at Hometown that
is very
kind of Louis Mueller, etc. So they say, well, he's a Texas place. But he's not. He's doing jerk baby back ribs. He's doing a lamb banh mi.
Yeah.
These things get overlooked. So he is doing Brooklyn style. Matt's doing Brooklyn style stuff over at Fletcher's. You know, even like what Phil and Dan are doing over at Brisket Town are starting to move a little bit away from that straight up Central Heart, you know,
I mean,
Texas
he
hardcore.
Is, I mean, he is definitely the in the school of Central Texas.
He is.
But that's the story.
But there are little, I mean, he's starting to introduce like little bits of Cajun and a little, you know, and little bits of things sort of around that Texas area, you know. But the problem is that often what happens is the press get out there and immediately go, well, they're not Texas, or, well, the brisket doesn't necessarily have the salt and pepper thing. And there's nobody really allowed to, like, do, you know, except for maybe like Will up at Duck's Eatery, which isn't really barbecue.
No.
Or what Robbie we used to do over at Feta, where it was like, you know, fish sauce and weird shit on the brisket.
Well, maybe Brooklyn style will be just known as the weird shit.
It's the weird shit, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Bushwick Grill Club and your new place, Northern Bell.
Do you think of yourself?
We're here with Frank Davis, a.k.a. the Pit Bastard. Where are you living in Brooklyn? You don't say exactly where, but where are you living?
Bushwick.
Bushwick. Yeah. So you have been into barbecue for how many years now?
10.
And so you had your restaurant in upstate, and now you've moved to Bushwick, and you start the Bushwick Grill Club. And what is that?
That's basically grilling in my backyard. It was a way to kill time and have friends over and meet a few new people. Unfortunately, you guys never actually made to any of them.
Well, you didn't make it to our barbecue, so
It's fair trade. I think you were always busy when I was doing when I had a chance to do one, and I was always busy when you were doing one.
Well, we're done for the season. Is your season done?
Well, now that I'm back, sort of working 6 days a week, it's semi done. Wednesday nights, I may start doing them again.
Okay, can I bring my dog?
Definitely.
Okay,
yeah. It was basically again last summer. You know, when I was sort of unemployed down here, when I moved back and hadn't really found a gig, I just started doing it as a way to try to meet people in the neighborhood and not get too rusty on the skills and so on that were involved.
I mean, if you're not grilling or cooking every day, when do you start to feel the rust setting in? Let me ask that a little better.
Yeah.
When do you start to feel dried out?
I think the longest I've ever gone without grilling has been, even in the winter, has been like maybe 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like...
That's a lot of food.
Yeah, it's, often it might just be like buying 2 pork chops at the...
Yeah.
The supermarket and throwing those down, or throwing some, occasionally throwing some vegetables on the grill and making like a smoked vegetable chili or something. But it's like, I've got two. I was lucky enough that we found an apartment that actually had a backyard space. And
in
so
Bushwick?
In Bushwick for far less than one would expect. And a full basement, too. So, cool. Envy me.
Just while that's salt rubbing.
Yeah, so I actually have 2 kettles back there, 2 Webers back there, and that's, and they're right off the back door of, of the bedroom, which is weird, but...
No, you grill for your bed. It's classic.
Yeah, so anytime I have people over, they have to pass through the bedroom, so we always have to make sure that everything's nice in the bedroom before
it's
we...
It's like that Seinfeld episode where exactly. George is eating pastrami in bed. Yeah, it's great.
It's the biggest problem is trying... In Bushwick is trying to grill in the winter because nobody's carrying charcoal anymore. Sort of have to, and that's the handy part about the basement. Before the summer finishes, I'll go when they do the big blowout at CVS or whatever. I'll go and
well, that's good. At least store for winter.
Exactly.
So you were doing this grill, the Bushwick Grill Club, and how does one get invited?
Often it was just through Instagram or, there's actually a little Facebook page for it too, which I think got me in trouble with the DOH, but, I had a letter the other day from the DOH claiming that I was running an illegal restaurant, because the Facebook page says barbecue restaurant, but it's not really a barbecue restaurant.
Like the DOH has nothing better to do.
Yeah, exactly. And
what's the rule? Do you have to bring something when you come?
Beer. Generally, beer. Alcohol.
Great.
I'll generally, or if you want to bring something to throw, as part of like the... It's an extension of what we used to do with the pop-ups in our backyard up in the Catskills was, if you bring meat, we will cook meat. If you, bring vegetables, we will cook vegetables. But we just say generally bring alcohol.
That's great. So you were doing the Bushwick Grill Club, and now you're cooking over at Northern Bell.
Right.
For those who are not familiar with Northern Bell, what is it?
They opened 2 months ago over on Metropolitan in Williamsburg. They've got a bit of a little smoker doing a little bit of smoked meat, but for the most part, the focus is more on Southern comfort food.
Nice.
And where I'm taking this, I got hired 3 weeks ago to take over the food program, where we're really pushing it is into game meats.
Really?
We have a bison burger, an elk burger. Rather than the belly that we're serving up as a platter is actually a boar belly, which is amazing.
Wow.
I never would have thought it would work, but it's so good.
Why did you think it would work?
Because I'm just a big pork belly fan, and I thought the boar belly would taste really kind of gamey and not have that same kind of unctuousness that the pork belly does. But it's actually, I think, really better. It tastes a little bit beefy. It's almost like a beef belly, but without the kind of like toughness that a beef belly is. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we've got a rabbit and ginger sausage coming, venison and cherry sausage.
Yes. Yes.
And we're just continuing to look for... to us, that's that next level of the whatever, Brooklyn barbecue or Brooklyn Southern is going to be. Is for us, we're going to sort of push it in the game meat territory.
But you're not just doing meats for doing meat sick. Like, they actually taste good.
No, it's good. Yeah, it tastes good meat. And quite honestly, my new kind of focus, I feel there's enough people doing barbecue. For me, it's more about, like, drunk food, comfort food, about, you know, good Southern soul food cooking. Nice plate of pickles, cornbread, you know, fried chicken. Actually, we smoke the chicken and then fry it. Smoked and fried chicken wings.
I don't think I've ever had smoked fried chicken. That's great. I mean, this sounds like you're getting a lot of work out of the small smoker.
It is. Yeah, it's
working overtime.
It's working overtime, and I've already predicted to the owners that the damn thing's going to probably break on one of our biggest weekends. So I keep trying to push them to get, like, a little bit better smoker, and I'm hoping they listen to this so that I once again can say, get a bigger smoker.
Remember I told you get the bigger smoker? We're going to need a bigger.
We're going to need a bigger smoker. Well, as I walked in, the first thing I looked at it, I said, we're going to need a bigger smoker. So,
and is it gas charcoal?
It's electric.
Electric.
It's the nature of being where we're at in Williamsburg. It's going to have to be an electric under the hood chip or pellet smoker because we don't have the space and we're surrounded by apartments and residential. So we don't have the ability to put a full on wood smoker in there.
Awesome. Well, Frank, thank you so much for stopping by.
My pleasure.
I know you got to jet off to the shift.
Yep.
But
it's going to be fun.
I appreciate it. You can grab a slice of pizza on the way out.
Cool.
And where can people follow you on Instagram?
You can follow me on Instagram at Bushwick Grill Club and on Twitter at Pit Bastard.
So awesome. Yep. Who is Pit Bastard on Instagram?
I think Instagram won't let you.
Oh.
Because the bastard, I think it was. I'm sorry. No, I actually had Pit Bastard at Instagram. I still have it, I think. But I just changed it over to Bushwick Grow Club because I was doing more with Bushwick Grow Club and felt, you know, it was a way of promoting that a little better.
Well, it's one of my favorite Get Hungry When I'm Hungry things to look at. And, make sure it's from the restaurant Northern Bell.
Northern Bell.
Normal hours, I'm assuming?
We're open for lunch, limited lunch menu, and most days of the week we're open the kitchen's open until 11, Sunday through Thursday, and then on Friday and Saturday it's open until 12:30.
Awesome. All right. Well, Frank, thank you so much.
Thank you very much
for swinging by. Yeah. And we have Miami Drive coming up next, but before that, we're going to play one more song.
I don't mind.
Oh, man. That's a track. We call that one a tune if we're in London, which we're not. But I'll call it a tune anyway. One, welcome to the show, Miami Drive. Welcome, Julio and Michelle.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany.
I'm not in it.
You're not in it, but you're here to eat pizza.
You
should. Fanny, can you be considered potential muse?
Definitely.
Oh, definitely. Actually, Permanent Love, I think the music came from how I felt about Tiffany.
Aww.
We just recently met, and then that happened, and then Michelle wrote some amazing lyrics to it. There we have it.
Blushing over pizza, I see.
Tears in heaven.
So welcome, and shout out to Andrew Raposa for another great curated band thrown our way. That man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that guy.
Best bass face in Brooklyn.
Definitely.
Yes.
6 years in a row? Seven, I don't know. I've lost count now.
Something like that.
So welcome, guys. So talk to me about how you got started, how you two met.
Michelle's husband, now husband, Ari Kushner, at the time I've always been, my first musical influence is jazz, and I was playing the sax a whole bunch for most of my upbringing. And then I got into, you know, like as most jazz musicians, then you get into things like Fruity Loops and Ableton and all that kind of thing, Reason. And so I started making some electronic music. And Ari's like, you know, you should come out sometime and meet this girl, Michelle. She's just getting into singing, and she plays the guitar, and she has a few songs that maybe you would be interested in trying to produce. And I never took him up on that offer. I never went to meet them, but eventually he had to bring her to my parents' house. I was like, this is Michelle. And let's, I mean, pretty much. Cause
wow.
I think we met once where Ari was DJing at that place. What's it?
The Rally Hotel.
The Rally Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
So it just happened. And she had some songs that were really nice. And we started to pretty much arrange them together. And I started producing them a bit. And that's how we met. We met through
Actually,
Ari, the guy that's out there taking pictures.
Oh, is that your husband? Uh-huh. Come on in. We got a seat.
Yeah.
Man, it's just a room full of love today.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Room full of love. So you guys met, and wait, you said the Rally down in Miami?
Yeah, we're both from Miami, okay. And you know, hence the name, and it's our biggest influence.
Wow.
Is the city.
I mean, meeting her forced on you at your parents' house in Miami is like, I mean, I don't know if you're Jewish, but that is the classic Jewish love story.
It happened, yeah, it was, I was not going out at that time in my life, I don't think so much.
Awesome.
I'm still pretty much
a homebody?
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. So you had some songs, and you guys started collaborating, and how instantaneously did you both think that this was going to be a good fit?
Pretty soon, I think. I think my concept was I wanted to work with a child, actually. A voice that was very innocent sounding, and I think Michelle was just really getting into it at that time. It was something that you hadn't been doing for too long.
Right? I had just started, actually. So my voice kind of resembled a child at that time, so it worked out pretty well. The initial songs were very romantic, very melodic, very sweet, and so it worked really well. And we still try to maintain that now,
yeah.
But the music's evolved so much in the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's definitely an innocence that we try to maintain in the production and in her voice. In some way, like the balance of the synthesizers being strong, and then her voice being what the synthesizers are trying to protect from, I don't know what, whatever the world.
All right, let's hear one. Let's hear a song because I'm very intrigued now.
Okay, should we play
one
live?
You're gonna love it.
I'm gonna love it.
You are.
I mean, I already love it. But yeah, let's play. Let's rip a tune.
All right.
I don't know if you guys really rip your tunes, but let's rip a tune.
Let's do it. No, I need this. Okay, let's.
All right, here we go. Miami Drive, live on Snacky Tunes. Oh, man.
Awesome.
I really wanted to be in some back room with a light-up disco floor at like 4 a.m. during that track.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh, that got real. That was pretty grown and sexy.
It really is.
A lot of adult love going on there.
Nice.
So you guys are from Miami.
Yes. Born and raised. Well, I'm born and raised. Julio was born in Nicaragua, right?
I was born in Nicaragua, but I moved to Miami when I was 3, so I grew up
just
there.
By yourself?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
My parents.
Yeah, dude, Nicaragua, this scene's dead.
You live in Miami. Get out of here.
And you guys never met growing up, but I assume good food growing up, though?
Yes, very good food. My family is half Colombian, half Cuban, so very Latin-based.
All right. Yeah, Nicaraguan food, Cuban food is, I think, what binds us. I'm a big, when I go to Miami, I go directly to a Cuban bakery.
Can you let me know where you can actually get a good Cuban sandwich in Miami?
Definitely. There's a few places.
I have family there, and everyone takes me to these places, and I'm like, these are all crap. I'm at the point now where I'm like, well, maybe there is not this ethereal Cuban sandwich. Mm-hmm. That exists. Maybe they're just not as good, but I don't believe that's the case.
No,
I think the ones in Miami are just the more sort of simple idea of a Cuban. Simple idea.
Right.
I feel like the sort of evolution of the Cuban sandwich, they've just made it better.
Using artisanal meats and things like that.
Exactly. So like when you go down to Miami, you go to like a typical like Cuban place.
Yeah.
It's not
in the hood, pretty much. That's where you find the best sandwiches.
Which is fine.
I lived in a place called Sweetwater, which is mostly Nicaraguans, but at first it was all Cubans, and there are a few places there that are cheap, tiny, but everything is just perfect. Everyone that works there actually just got there from Cuba a few months ago, that kind of thing, you know.
You know, I'm not familiar with Nicaraguan food. What's that like?
It's really simple as well. It's a lot of sauces. Like, we love our chimichurri, for instance, skirt steak with chimichurri, some rice and beans combined, which we call gallo pinto, and then we have, you know, like plantains of in any form, you know, mashed or
actually
fried.
Growing up, my family and I used to go down to Bayside and eat at Los Ranchos, and which was Nicaraguan every Sunday night.
Really?
Nice. Yes.
That's one of the it's a chain now.
Is it a chain?
Yeah. Now there's like three, but there was one in the Nicaraguan neighborhood, and it became very popular. And then they opened up one at Bayside, which was it's like a huge touristy, you know, place. But yeah, that place still has. I mean, the food is still good there.
Tiff, are you getting the benefits of a home-cooked Nicaraguan meal?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Julio is the meat. I call him the meat master, which is a disgusting term if your mind goes there.
It did.
But we're just specifically talking
That's
about
That's really sweet of you, baby.
How he can marinate all kinds of delicious meat and make amazing sauces.
Wow.
He's an incredible chef. You're really modest. That's totally fine.
It's experimentation constantly. You know, like my dad was that kind of guy who would just throw 10 things in a pot, and then magically, there was a potion there. And it's like, wow.
Was it magic, though, or was it like controlled madness?
You're right. I think maybe more of the controlled madness, actually, now that I think about it.
Where you're going like, what am I looking at here, Dad?
He's like, you're gonna love it. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
I think you loved it.
That's amazing. Do you cook?
I do. Mm, I do. Yes.
She's an amazing chef.
That was actually my first passion. I did the opposite. I went food first, then music.
Okay. But do you feel like you're bringing the same sort of passion and skills to your approach to music as you did for food?
Yes, definitely. It's very intense.
Very intense?
Yes. I spend long hours cooking. I'm like more of a slow cook. I could spend all day doing it.
I'm halfway through a tomato jam right now.
Very nice.
That I got started, but I had to turn the heat off because I had to come to a radio show. It's like a 3 or 4 hour process.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to be up to midnight cooking it. It's really good. Food 52, tomato jam, search the recipe.
I love that. It's so good. Awesome.
Another track? Another song?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
All right, what do you want to hit us with? Something with some Cubano flavor?
This one is definitely very Miami freestyle, so this is
the tinge of that.
Okay.
It's called House Party.
Oh, House Party. So first track off the EP, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, here we go, live on Snacky Tunes. Once again, we have Miami Drive.
Nice.
Woo! Ow!
So sassy. A little freestyle right there at the end. A little wild style.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about the EP. Super fun. Super great. Super summer jams. When did that drop? Has it dropped?
It's actually, we've just released the first single, House Party, which is the one you just heard. The rest of the EP mm-hmm. will probably come out in the fall. We're working on a music video right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is going to be...
Yeah.
Pretty epic, I hope.
Who's making it?
We're keeping it internal for now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should be a nice surprise for everyone.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
But very, very Miami influence, I would say, and a part of our upbringing, which is novelas, one of our biggest influences in our music making, is the Spanish novela.
Really?
Just in all its glory and not glory, but the humor that you capture from it, with it being so serious, and that's something that I feel like in music I love, you know.
Is the video going to be like open shirt, wax chest type of thing?
it might be. Yeah,
it might go there. We might end up there.
It might go there.
Very emotional.
Yeah,
thing.
I'm a pretty terrible actress, so I feel like it'll really come through perfectly in this sort of novela theme. It'll come mm-hmm. like just. It'll make the most sense. It's like my debut, my terrible acting debut.
Are you excited? Excited for your close-up?
I am, yes. Thank you.
tons of close-ups, yeah.
So the EP is coming out in the fall. Who's putting it out?
We don't have a label yet. We've been shopping it around.
That seems like a mistake by the music industry.
We have some options right now, so.
Okay. It's good to have options.
Yeah, definitely.
Good to have options.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then tour?
Well, yeah, that's something that we want to really do coming up maybe next fall when we drop the EP and
we
stuff.
We have actually a show coming up August 29th with Midnight Magic, which is pretty cool.
Friday. Let me just check. August 29th?
August 29th.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Nice.
Sweet.
I have a wedding the next day, but I'll be there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the wedding now, though.
I know. That's the thing, because Miami Drive, you guys start at like 1 in the morning, maybe 1:30.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. That's a late show.
That is late. Late what, yeah.
Is this another cameo special?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Duh. Hey, shout out to Jeffy, who just got married.
Definitely.
Ooh, shout out to Jeffy.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Jeffy and Mary.
Jeffy. Jeffy, really, that place. Every time I go in there.
I know.
He really just turned that. Do you remember when it was just that, like, half room?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's now like a proper.
Yeah. And he made the sound. The sound in there is great now.
Dude, Simi Mobile Disco played there the other day.
I know.
Really?
Simi.
That's so crazy.
Played there. And it was awesome. It was awesome.
He's continuing the golden age of that era. I remember, like, you know, Coco 66, for instance, had a certain sweaty room in the back, and then that never really took
off. He's the last standing Brooklyn sweaty room.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, look, now that there is, like, Output and Verboten, but it's mm-hmm.
That's the place right there.
For live bands and stuff, yeah.
What, for Cameo?
Yeah, and for DJs as well. It's just the sound system has gotten better and better.
And you just
feel like you could be in any other era.
Oh, it's so good.
The present, right? It
just basement is like,
oh yeah,
touch me in the basement type of vibe.
Yes.
Yeah. But in the good way. In the super good way.
Definitely.
Touch me in the basement.
Yeah. If that's not a new Midnight Magic song, I don't know what is.
No.
Send that back to the boys.
Touch me in the basement.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll have you back on because I know you guys are working on the next one, right?
Yeah, EP coming out next month, too.
All right, so we'll get you...
Not about us, though. It's not about us. It's about Miami Drive.
I know. I know. All right, so Miami Drive, I want to make sure that we have enough time for one more song. So where can people find you? Instagram, Twitter. What's your Instagram game? Good? Strong?
We've actually... It's one of those things where it's been hard for us to take that as a means of promotion. Just because our personalities, I'm not necessarily a type of bro down kind of guy, so I don't really have a large friend base, you could say, and so like Instagram has been a really hard thing to understand how to approach and use.
Food shots, pet shots,
yeah,
done. Is that
there
it?
You go.
I'm telling you.
See,
honestly, if you have a band Instagram that never posts about music and it's just great food and cute dogs,
done.
Okay, done. We're going to try that.
Done. And it sounds like that, I'm telling you, you put up a photo of you playing keyboards and a photo of you with skirt steak and chimichurri sauce. You see which one of them likes. I'm telling you,
I know exactly which one it is.
Awesome. The best place right now to really check us out is on SoundCloud, Miami Drive.
That is everything Miami Drive, Instagram, Twitter.
Everything, yeah. Right now, Facebook, Miami Drive Band is the full name. Okay. SoundCloud, it's just Miami Drive. And then Instagram and Twitter is also just Miami Drive Straight. No hyphens or anything.
Cool. All right, well, thank you so much. Shout out to the Pit Bastard. Go to Northern. Hey, if you need dinner plans tonight, he'll be behind the grill or behind the stove.
We just had delicious pizza.
Oh, shout out to our birds, as always. Yeah. Heritage.
Ooh.
This is our last show of the summer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We got shit to do.
Yeah.
Both Greg and I will be out at FYF in LA next weekend. So if you see us and you're one of our four listeners, one of which maybe lives in LA, come say hi to us. And then we got weddings and I guess Midnight Magic, Midnight Drive show.
Miami Drive.
Miami Drive. What did I say? Midnight Drive?
Midnight Drive.
It happens to me all the time as well. Oh. I mean.
All right, well, Miami Drive, what's the last song?
It's Give It Up.
All right, Give It Up. Here we go. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for an amazing summer. We will see you, and I can't believe I have to say this, we will see you in the fall.
Oof.
Where the hell did 2014 go?
I don't know.
All right. Okay. See you guys soon. Bye.
Let's do it.
about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.